Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. And if you'd like, you can stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 3. I'll begin in verse 11 and read through verse 18. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good music that our ears have heard. And we thank you, dear God, for the good fellowship we've enjoyed already in Sunday school and in this church hour. Now we ask, dear God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of the Word of God, and that you'd open our hearts for the message that you have for us today. And might we be responsive, dear God, to what you have for us. And I just pray you'd continue to bless in the service. Have your will and way in hearts and lives. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Here in verse 16, the last part of the verse says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, Laying Down Our Life. Before salvation, the Lord wants our soul. He wants to save us, to redeem us, to change us. After salvation, the Lord wants our life, our Christian life. He wants our life to count for Him. The Bible teaches us in 1 John that as Christians, we are to love one another. Didn't say we had to like one another. You ever met any Christians you didn't like? Just make sure you don't ever meet a Christian that you didn't love. Because we have to overlook one another's faults many times. Do you know why I can't judge another person? Because until I'm perfect myself, I have no right to judge another person. And I'm not going to be perfect till I get to heaven. I won't be perfect in this life. But I want you to go to 1 John 4. We read in chapter 3, but in 1 John 4, just two verses, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, to really love others is to lay down our life for them. God has given to each one of us a life. It is precious. It's a gift. It's real. Mrs. Virgil Unruh wrote these words, and I want to share them with you. What is life? A little noise, a passing breeze between two long eternities, a span of days, of months and years, mingled with wonder, joy, and tears. What is life? A precious gift. There's nothing greater. Given by God, the great Creator. And every morning, completely free, He extends this gift anew to me. What is life? the chance to feel, to hear, to see all nature in her majesty, the carefree birds, the lovely flowers, new miracles each passing hour. What is life? The opportunity each day to share with others on the way a friendly word, a smile, a song, a helping hand when things go wrong. What is life? It is a treasure I clasp today, but it will surely pass away, and I will go the way of those who journeyed here and now repose. This is my prayer, O Lord. Help me to live for Thee, to spend my days unselfishly, so when this gift You will reclaim, I'll not have squandered it in vain. Every person that's ever been born has physical life. You and I today, as we are here in this auditorium, we are alive. Every person has physical life, but not every person has eternal life. Only the saved have eternal life. And John is saying here in verse 16 of 1 John 3, we know that God is love. We perceive, we understand that God is love because of what He did. He laid down His life for us. And so because He laid down His life for us, then He tells us we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. To live for others is to give to others. Author unknown, but let me share this with you. Title, Let Me Give. I don't know how long I have to live, but while I do, Lord, let me give some comfort to someone in need by smile or nod, kind word or deed. And let me do whatever I can to ease things for my fellow man. I only want to do my part to lift a tired and weary heart, to change folks' frowns to smiles again, so I will not have lived in vain. I do not care how long I live if I can give and give and give. A laid down life is a giving life. It's surrendered. It's on the altar. It's given over to our Lord, to our Master, to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. I'll share some verses there with you. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10, I'd like to begin reading in verse 38. Matthew 10 and verse number 38. That's music in my ears to hear those pages turning. Because you came to church with your Bible in hand. That's scriptural. You need to check the preacher out. I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm talking about this preacher. You need to check him out. Make sure he's reading from the right Bible and preaching the right word and all those things. And I won't get into that right now. But Matthew 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now Jesus is speaking here in verse 39, he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We cannot find our life until we lose it. And he's talking about losing our life in service, in discipleship, in commitment. It is realizing that I do not belong to me anymore. I am bought and paid for with His precious blood. Appreciate the songs about the blood this morning too, folks. We still need those. There was a church that voted to get new songbooks, and they discussed it. They decided to buy songbooks that had no songs in them at all about the blood. One lady got upset and left the church. She went to the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. She told Dr. Malone, says, you know, the church I went to, they voted to get new songbooks, and they didn't want any songs about the blood in their new songbooks. And Dr. Malone was telling someone this story later, and he said, they might have got new songbooks, but they lost a jewel. Here's the thing. I am His. I'm not my own. I belong to the Lord. I must let Him have control of me in order to have a laid down life. Someday the only thing that's really going to matter is, as a believer, what did I do for Jesus? That's going to be all that matters one day. What did you do for the Lord? Here's an epitaph. An Indiana cemetery has a tombstone more than 100 years old that bears the following epitaph. It says, please, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I, as I am now, so you will be, so prepare for death and follow me. An unknown passerby read those words on the tombstone, and underneath he scratched this reply. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. You see, when we leave this earth, hopefully we will leave behind a testimony. And boy, it'd be a wonderful thing to have someone say of us, he loved the Lord. She served the Lord. They were faithful to the Lord. They were a testimony for the Lord. Those who know Jesus as Savior, thank God, are headed for heaven. It's settled forever the moment we're saved. But you know, as we go down the road of life as a Christian, here's the question, is our own life surrendered to the Lord? It ought to be, and God wants it to be. And it's something that we can do over and over and over again. We don't get saved once. But we can rededicate our life to the Lord a lot of times. You know, I found that I'm human. Sometimes I drift away. And I know when it happens. And I talk to the Lord about it, and I tell Him I'm sorry. And I try to get back to where I know God would have me to be in my Christian life. A life that is laid down will stick close to the Lord. Turning our back on the things of this world and fixing our eyes upon Him. Have you ever heard anyone say these words? Birds of a feather flock together. Have you ever stopped and really asked yourself what that means? Well, I want to tell you a story, which I think will help us understand. One spring, a great many bad crows began to pull up a farmer's young corn, and the farmer loaded his shotgun and he went out to frighten the crows away. He began to shoot. He fired at the crows, and then he hurried out into the field to see how many he'd hit. To his surprise, he found that besides killing three crows, he had wounded Polly, his pet parrot. You can imagine how excited his children were when he came back with Polly in his hands. And they cried, "Oh, Daddy, who was so cruel as to hurt poor Polly? Where was she?" And before the farmer could explain, Polly began to say these words, "Bad company, bad company." And the man laughed and he said, "That's certainly the truth." Then he explained to the children that Polly had evidently seen the crows in the field and had left the house. She was allowed out of her cage a great deal of time. And she'd gone to join the other birds. And she had been among the crows when the farmer fired on them. And he said, "Children, you see, Polly was keeping bad company. And bad company is always dangerous." In the Bible, we read these words in Proverbs 4:13, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." We better be careful also of the company we keep. You know, the company I like to keep is right here today in the house of the Lord. My best friends are God's people. And if our life is laid down for others, we will stay close to the Lord and stay close to the Lord's people and stay close to each other because we need one another. We need one another. We're going to be preaching a little bit on that tonight, Lord willing. But you know, we need to back off from the things that would hurt our testimony and would cause a stumbling block to someone else and things that would displease the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 1 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." A laid down life is one that is presented to the Lord. God doesn't ask the unsaved to do this. He doesn't ask the unbeliever, the lost person, to present themselves. But Paul says this to the brethren, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," God's people, saved people, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." Well, here's what happened. We lay our life down. God picks our life up and does something with it for His honor and for His glory. Unless God does something in and through our life, we will not be used of Him. We don't do it ourselves. The Lord has to do it. And James 4:14 tells us this, that our life on this earth is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I preached a funeral of one of my deacons in 1998. He was 45 years of age. He got a brain tumor, and he didn't last but about 6 months. What a faithful man. One day he came into the church and he'd been getting treatments. He'd lost all of his hair. Lost a lot of weight. Wasn't very big to start with. He sang in the choir. And I know that people were sitting there, "I wonder what Tom's going to do." Well, when it came time for the choir, Tom, just like always, he came right up to the choir and sang. That touched a lot of people, touched a lot of hearts. Wasn't long after that, I preached his funeral. Last year, I preached his wife's funeral that he left behind. She had remarried, but nevertheless, she wasn't but 53 years of age. Died of cancer. You know, we have no guarantees how long we're going to be on this earth. You know what I've had to do on more than one occasion? Go out to a cemetery and the undertaker opens the back door of the car and gets out a little box about that long. And we go out there to a grave and we bury a little baby. See, it's not just old people that die. It is appointed unto man once to die. You know, we ought to be thankful we're still living because God's left us here for a purpose. He wants to do something with our life. He wants our life to be laid down for Him to serve others. But if we're not careful, we all get all caught up in the earthly side of things. And when we do that, we're going to miss what God desires to have from our life. Luke 8:14 speaks of being choked with the cares of this life. And 2 Timothy 2:4 speaks about entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. The things of this life can keep you so occupied, if you'll let them, that you won't have time to prepare for the next life. You'll just be worried about this life. You won't have time to lay up any treasures in heaven if you're only concerned with this earth, with making a living or making money or doing this or that or the other thing. You won't have time to do anything that really counts for God. Someone penned these words years ago, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you laid down your life to serve the one who laid down his life for you? It takes humility and faith and love and willingness for us to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus is the great example. He laid down his life for the whole world. And he loved us and gave himself for us while we were yet sinners. The blessing of humility. When you're in the process of humbling yourself, the Lord will load you with blessings. God wants you to be like the stalk of wheat that is full of beautiful grains. The more it is loaded, the lower it stoops down. Thus, my dear friend, your real riches will be manifested by your humility. Sometimes we just don't want to bow the knee. We don't want to lay down. We don't want to get down. But even if we don't get down in a physical way, we need to do that in our heart and be humble before the Lord. An humble Christian is a Christian that cares for others. A person that is full of pride will not lay their life down. A laid down life will bring to you sweet fellowship with the Lord and with the Lord's people that is so wonderful, so precious, so exciting. A life on the altar for God. Mamie, a lady, made frequent trips to the branch post office. And one day she confronted a long line of people who were waiting for service from the postal clerks. And Mamie only needed stamps. So a helpful observer asked her, says, "Why don't you get the stamp? Get your stamps out of the stamp machine. You can get all the stamps you need and you won't have to wait in line." Mamie said these words, "I know, but the machine can't ask me about my arthritis." You know, we live in a world that has become extremely impersonal. You know, I'll tell you what I am. 432-560-132. If I want to cash a check or do any kind of business, I have to come up with that number, put it down, and so forth. You know, when you talk with people, most of them aren't going to ask you about your arthritis anyway. They want you to state your business and get out of the way for the next customer. And it's hard to find anybody who's the least bit curious about your gout or your arthritis or your bad cough or anything else. People still need human contact. Solitary confinement is still the most severe punishment that a prisoner can receive. And as Christians, we need to be sensitive to the need that people have to be cared for in a personal way, to be touched. None of us liveth to himself, and none of us dies to ourself, according to Romans 14:7. So a laid down life is a life that reaches out and touches someone else's life and brings blessings and joy and help to those you come in contact with. You know, I think when we get up, we ought to just ask the Lord if he could use us in some way to be a blessing and a help to someone today. Now, as we look at 1 John once again, the verses that we read, look at 1 John 3 and verse 18. First of all, verse 17. "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So verse 17 teaches us how to give. Verse 18 then says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That verse teaches us how to love. But we will not do either one of those if we have not laid down our life before the Lord. Jesus set the great example. He gave Himself. And as His children, that is what we need to do. Just simply give ourselves. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord. And if we're available and our life is presented to Him, He can use it to bring honor and glory to His precious name. God can use our life. And He wants to use our life to be a blessing to someone else. You know, a dad, and I know it hadn't been long since Father's Day, lays down his life for his family. Sometimes family members don't even think about it. But he's got up every day and went to work. Brought home the paycheck so groceries could be on the table. A lot of those things we just kind of take for granted. It's like on Mother's Day. Oh, well, Mom will always do it. She'll always be there. Well, she may not always be there. So many things we just take for granted instead of being thankful for a life that's already been laid down in our family. I started the Faith Baptist Church in LaPorte, Indiana. My mother was still alive at the time. She was not a wealthy lady. Every month, a check would come in the mail for a certain amount. Every month, same amount. Every month for the first year or two. And we were trying to get the church going, get it off the ground and so forth. I don't ever want to take something like that for granted. Because God touched her heart to do it for Him. When you lay down your life, and sometimes it's not an easy thing to do, but folks, that's when the blessings from heaven began to flow. It's when your life is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it'll make you love your family. It'll make you love your church. It'll make you love your congregation, your brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll make you love your Bible and soul winning. It'll make you love missionaries that want to go out and do great things for the Lord. One of our missionaries years ago got Lou Gehrig's disease and couldn't speak. And I went to a church that was honoring him on his 70th birthday. And he wanted to say something to me so bad, and he got a pen, a piece of paper. And I sat there beside him, and he wrote on that, "Brother Cox, Faith Baptist Church was the first church to take me on for support when I surrendered to be a missionary." I remember the street I lived on. He and I were walking up on Andrew Avenue, and he'd been staying in our home. And he shared with me God's call on his life to be a missionary. He was so excited about it. You know what he did with that check? He messed our books up for years. He framed it and put it on the wall of his office. He never cashed it. He always told everybody where we were. Faith Baptist Church was the first church to take me on for support. The Lord called him home. Next time I see him, it'll be in heaven. I got a lot of people I'm waiting to see in heaven. A lot of my own family. a lot from our church family, people that's just gone on to be with the Lord. And you'll have to forgive me because sometimes I don't always laugh when I'm happy. Sometimes when I'm the happiest is when I shed tears and when I cry. Because God's so good. He's so good. And I want to make sure every day my life is laid down on the altar for my wonderful Lord and Savior. See, there's more to this thing of Christianity than just walking down the aisle and getting saved. That's just the start. That's the beginning. But living for the Lord, that involves prayer, surrender, action. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do the work? Amazing how we can always think about somebody else, isn't it? Instead of, what about me? Maybe God will use me to do something for Him. May we never hold back and never find excuses about why we can't do this or do that for the Lord. If you don't feel qualified or don't feel like you can, well, just make an attempt. Just ask God for His grace and His help. My dear wife through the years has blessed so many people by sending to them notes of encouragement and cards. And I have people saying, well, we sure do appreciate your wife because she has a love for people. She doesn't do it for people. She does it for the Lord. But God blesses many people. I heard about a lady the other day, and she's been a pastor's wife for a long, long time. She's almost 90 years of age. In fact, on her 90th birthday, she received hundreds of cards. Her husband hadn't pastored in years, but he preaches wherever the Lord opens a door for him from time to time. She received all those cards. I was talking to her son the other day, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to become just like your dad. He said, what do you mean? He said, if God lets me live, I'll be 90 years old, and I'll just be looking for another place to preach. And so many people promised him when he was younger, we'll have you in our church. And so when he goes to a church and they've said that, well, they'll have him preach. He came to my retirement party in November of 2010 and shared this. Says, I think a lot of the preachers don't want to have me preach anymore because they're afraid I'll die in their pulpit. And our pastor, he had him lined up to speak, and he was in the hospital and unable to come. In fact, him and his wife were both in the same hospital at the same time, Plymouth, Indiana. They got out and they both went to the same nursing home. Stayed there for almost a month. You know, they both got out of there. They got out of the hospital, they got out of the nursing home, and they're home. Now, they're not doing the greatest, but they're where they want to be. They're home. But where he really wants to be is a song he sings. Some call it heaven. I call it home. And we all have something wonderful to look forward to. The best is yet to come for God's children. But I tell you what, until that day, I'm going to enjoy some good things on this earth. Some things that involve the Lord and the Lord's people. God has blessed in this work in such a wonderful and tremendous way because a man surrendered to the Lord And God has used him and his wife mightily in this place. And I look at it and I see, here's the blessing. And I'm sure there are many that I don't see today that, hey, it's July. Not everybody's in church every Sunday in the summertime. But if we had them all here, we wouldn't have a place for everybody to sit, would we? I mean, there's a lot of them. And God is blessed in such a wonderful, tremendous way. And all those missionaries back there, Dr. Kimmel, Dr. Christensen, many others that this church has supported year after year. You see, heard about another preacher that asked a pastor one time, and we used to do this all the time, how many did you have last Sunday? How many did you have saved? How many this and how many that? Not a lot of that going on anymore, is there? But anyway, they asked this preacher, said, how many did you have saved last Sunday? And it had been a dry run. Like one fellow, he had a little bit bigger church. He said, well, we had 8 forward. All of them were ushers. Must have had a big church to have need 8 ushers, huh? But when they asked this fellow, how many did you have last Sunday? He said, I don't know. We hadn't heard from all the missionaries yet. Because a lot of them, and we get the letters, and we had this many saved. I tell you what, I used to read those letters and just weep because of what God is doing. I said, well, maybe the Lord's not doing that much here, but He's doing something in other places, and that's wonderful, that's great. And if we'll just keep on laying down our life to Him and being faithful to Him, we'll continue to see great and mighty things even in our own midst. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, God said, there am I in the midst. And I tell you what, if the Lord's here, I want to be here. If the Lord does something, I want to be in on it. I'm not going to miss tonight. With the grace of God, I'll be. I'm afraid something will happen. I won't be in on it. I'll just hear about it from somebody else. I don't want to hear about it. I want to witness it. I want to be right here. Let's stand together, please.